by your life today.
Dead, 1.5 million homeless. Those are the staggering new totals that we're getting from Haiti. Musician Wyclef Jean calls for an evacuation entirely of that country. But what's the reality of that? We'll talk about it a little bit deeper here into America tonight. Something that's been on my mind and many of yours as well, gotten a ton of emails on this since December 25th. And what happened, almost happened in Detroit, is what's going on in the skies? And what about the machines? And what's going to happen? And what about the puffer machines? And what about the body scanners? And what's going on with security and all that sort of stuff? And as somebody who's traveled a lot, I even just looked at my miles the other day. I had almost 300,000 since, I guess, 2003, which my buddies laughed at and said, that's nothing. I thought it was a lot. So in my travels, I've noticed some interesting things going on with security. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America tonight. Right from the get-go, we're going to talk about airports and security with one of my favorite guests, aviation security expert and former pilot, Denny Kelly. Denny, Happy New Year to you.
Same to you, Kate. Nice to talk to you.
We had the two things that happened in New York. First, the thing, actually New Jersey, Newark, New Jersey, and then just this weekend, the JFK problem, where a guy coming back from Haiti walked through that restricted door, set off an alarm that ended up ultimately leading to delays, the evacuation of the terminal, all that kind of stuff. And now a defense attorney comes forward and says, hey, listen, he just walked through the wrong door. That's all it's about. I think there's more to it. I mean, are we safe anymore at these airports, Denny? Or we have guards that are walking away? I mean, you're somebody who travels much more than I do, and you see it. You're on the front lines, if you will. What do you think?
Well, I don't think security is any better today than it was on September the 10th, 2001. I think the only thing that's different now is that people, the traveling public specifically, are more aware of the problem, and they're conscious of what's going on around them, and if something goes on around them that they don't like, they try to do something about it. But otherwise, the security's no better. I mean, the Newark and the JFK episodes are perfect examples of what a shambles our airport security are in, and nothing's going to change until somebody finally decides to take a stance and spend the money and do it right, if that ever happens.
Yeah, and when you say spend the money, if you were in charge, what are the things you think have to be done? Where should the money be earmarked for across the board in these airports across the country?
Well, I think the money needs to be spent on the proper equipment to do these security checks. It needs to be spent on training for the people to do the security checks. And it needs to be spent on the changes to the airport entrances themselves so that they're more controllable. And the problem is that all this takes money, and the airlines don't want to pay for it, and the government doesn't want to pay for it, especially since they don't have the money to pay for it. So it's kind of a standoff between the two. So consequently, what do? They put people in uniforms that look pretty fancy, and they pay them a little more money than minimum wage. And they say, look what we've done, look how secure this is. And it's obvious it's not secure. I mean, the incident on Northwest Delta, coming into Detroit on Christmas, I think it was December 25th. I don't know if it was 24th or 25th. I can't remember
mm-hmm.
now.
25th.
Is an example of that. I mean, there's so many holes in security, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and the training. It's interesting about the training. You know, there's all this tug-of-war over profiling, but I don't think it's even about profiling, not a racial profiling. I think, and you say this, train the people right. You have ex-police officers, or you have people who know what to look for. You see nervous signs or something that's not right with somebody coming through. Don't you think you could do that if there are people who are trained to see that things are obviously a little bit amiss with somebody who's nervous, et cetera, for various reasons?
Of course. I mean, until they start profiling and it doesn't necessarily mean racial profiling, but until they start profiling, they're not going to be able to efficiently screen and efficiently protect people. I can remember back in 1987 when I was flying out of London back to Dallas. And I remember very well the procedures, and I remember very well standing in line, and the gentleman walked up to me and started talking to me. And within 2 or 3 minutes, it was obvious that he was screening me, and I didn't even hardly know it. Then he turned around and walked away. And we're going to have to screen people, we're going to have to profile, and we're going to have to get people to do that, and we're going to have to train people to do that. But the problem is the politicians don't want to do that. They're afraid of losing some votes, so they don't want to vote for it, but it's going to have to be done.
Yeah. As somebody, and you gave a great example there, as somebody who's traveled for all these years and flown as well, and you say we're not any more secure than after 9/11, you take a look at this and you see these airports from the big to the regional to the really teeny tiny ones, and we look at now the argument with air security over the whole privacy thing. I mean, here's what I say. I agree with you. If you want to profile me, you want to talk to me, whatever, I don't care, because I want to be safe on the flight. I want my family to be safe when they fly. So I agree. There's nothing that's probably too invasive. Now, they're talking about the body scanners as not being effective anyway, for in the sense of the underwear with the bomber Abdullah Muttalib, that you wouldn't actually have been able to maybe have caught that. Do you know much more about the body scanners and how effective they are or not?
Well, I think the body scanners can be very effective. Again, you have to have the right equipment, and you have to have people trained to use it. But I think the problem is that there's so many people who don't want the body scanners used because they're afraid that they're going to impinge on somebody's civil rights. And so they put out the word that they're not any good, that they don't work, and they would have caught him, and they would catch other people. And, of course, they improve these things all the time. But, again, they're expensive to buy and expensive to train people to use them. I mean, I can remember back, I was on a committee back in 1974 for airport safety and security when we were facing all the hijackings of Cuba, and I can remember the procedures that we looked at and everything that we tried to do and all the resistance we had. And you come all the way up to today, 36 years later, and nothing's changed. There's resistance to the stuff that works. And, you know, the bottom line is, you know, flying on an airliner is a privilege. It's not a right. If you don't want to be body scanned or searched or questioned or profiled, drive your car or take a bus or do something else or don't go. But I'm like you. I want to be safe. I want my family and friends safe. And if that's what it takes, that's what it takes.
Yeah, different world for sure. Denny, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for joining us on ATN right here from the get-go.
Thank you, Kate.
All right, the TSA, by the way, already has 40 scanners in operation at 19 airports. I think I've talked about this before. 6 machines are being used for primary screening spots at 6 airports, 34 other machines at 13 other airports, and then the secondary screening as alternatives to pat-downs. They're talking about this additional 300 units. They cost up to $170,000 apiece. They say they're going to be rolled out in the airports by the end of the year. But at what cost? The ACLU, of course, says no way. These graphic images are inappropriate and should not happen. All right, coming up, Martin Luther King Day and some other odds and ends. Hang with us.
Did you know that the dollar has lost 10% of its value against other currencies in the last 90 days? Ever think about how inflation will change your life, your savings, your retirement plans? Remember inflation in Zimbabwe, Argentina, the Weimar Republic? Let's put this another way. Who cares if your investments go up 10%, but you lose 40% of your purchasing power? Gold still buys the same amount of stuff it always did. Gold does not require trust in a third party. You can possess it in your hand. You can take it with you. Gold is real money. Gold is honest money. My name is Daniel Larson from Midas Resources. To find out how you can protect your savings and roll over your IRA funds into precious metal accounts, call me at 800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and re-cleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Healthy Hearts Club presents Heart and Body Extract. Supports clean, clear arteries, healthy blood pressure levels, healthy circulation and blood flow, regular heart rate and beat. What if you could avoid heart attacks? What if you could avoid emergency room visits? What if you could avoid surgery? How? With this Heart and Body Extract. 100% organic, no negative side effects. Guaranteed to work or your money back. Call now, 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Or order online at heartandbody.com. Take the high road to a long and healthy life. 866-295-5305. Or heartandbody.com.
One day, this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners, will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood? I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racist, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification. One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today.
All right, famous words. Just a chunk of the speech, of course, from Martin Luther King, who I mentioned some of the highlights, of course, of King's career. We all know that big speech. But winning the Nobel Prize, putting the money back into civil rights, it is a time of reflection whenever you think of Martin Luther King. And many people believe that Martin Luther King Jr. has taught them what America could be from long ago, 1963 and forward, and how far have we come since then. I think that when you look back, and of course, for me, I was too young to know as much about the civil rights movement, only learning it in history books and talking to people and interviewing some amazing people on shows that I've had. But if you roll your mind back to that time and think of where we were as a country, as much as there are divides and as much as race seems to be that taboo thing of discussing race and where we are and words and all that stuff, I still believe we have taken a huge step forward. It's in your mind, just remember. And Martin Luther King Day is a good day to remember this. Discrimination is always, always cowardly and ignorant. And it is the greatest, greatest challenge to the future of America and to the future of the world, no doubt. We are zigging and zagging all over the place at the tail end of Martin Luther King Day, but what else is new on America Tonight? Coming up a little bit later in this hour, we have a dungeon moment, and a well-deserved dungeon moment, by the way. Somebody who once again went back on his word in Washington. I know you're stunned by that, with the politicians and all. But we opened up and I mentioned staggering numbers starting to emerge. Everybody's trying to put a number on it, on the amount of people who have been killed in Haiti and who are homeless and all that sort of thing. What's interesting, and we're going to talk to a doctor tomorrow night that scrambled, pulled every string he could, took seven doctors with him for 48 hours to go and help. And then, realizing that the supplies were so awful, that there was so much that was needed, asked for a jet to be sent with supplies back to Haiti. And, of course, landing on a runway that was falling apart. And we're going to talk, like I said, we're going to talk to him tomorrow night, because he hadn't slept in 4 days, or he would have come on the show tonight. But I look forward to that conversation with Dr. Richard Toussaint and his crew over at Forest Park, because they just did an amazing thing. I had the initial talk with him today with one of his people about how they had to really, really put things in motion. And it gave me a different perspective on things that are happening. But in Port-au-Prince, there was concern over a lot of Americans who were missing, including some students. And they found a student, a 23-year-old first-year student, finally was found and rescued on Monday. This is a week after that earthquake flattened almost all of Haiti, right? She didn't think anybody else was even alive in the wreckage of the university. What she did was, see, there's always these stories. This is your silver lining. This is your miracle. Maxine Fallon just was praying and hoping someone would help her. She was underneath everything. She tried to stay conscious. She was in pain there in the fetal position. Somehow rescuers could hear her. They heard reports that text messages had been sent from beneath that area. So they continued to look. And I mentioned she was trying to keep herself awake, so she was drifting in and out. They did transport her to the hospital, obviously dug her out, found her. That's an incredible, incredible thing. And there are still other stories like this that are emerging from that area. A six-year-old was found by local folks and rushed to a field hospital that was set up by some Israelis at the Port-au-Prince soccer field. And I mentioned the other day that five people were pulled from a grocery store, what was left of a grocery store. So how incredible is that, that they still found somebody alive on Monday, and even on Sunday, 60 people found alive by rescue teams from the United States, Israel, and all these other nations. That is the incredible moment for some of the people who are there digging and hoping and still at it, because I've never heard of that. I've never heard of someone surviving for that long of a period. Of course, anything's possible. But with poor communications and trying to relay people to different parts of the city, and there is no city because, you know, most of the buildings are destroyed, what an amazing thing to have had happen. And in the middle of all of this, you have looting, and you have problems with keeping people calm, So the stories that are being played out are just absolutely incredible. And also what I think is incredible is how generous Americans have been. Despite everything, you know, that of course we're talking about on America Tonight, the frustrations, the political frustrations that bubble over, everybody's set aside for a couple of seconds, and really people have reached out and have donated whatever they can donate, whether it's just $10 in a text to the Red Cross or whoever you choose to go through, someone privately that you know every dime is going to go to the people in Haiti to buy the supplies, to do whatever it is that they need to have done. And from what I understand, it's just been incredible, the outpouring, the amazing outpouring of so many people from not just the United States, too, by the way, although certainly Americans have given an amazing amount, but people around the world are doing that. So there's not a lack of the inpouring of funds. It's just a question of getting the situation set up. A little bit later in the show, I happened to catch an interview that Andrea Mitchell did with Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and she dispelled some of the myths of stories that were coming out of Haiti and then talked about what were the real hang-ups, what was really holding things back as far as rescue efforts, getting supplies to the people, and all that kind of stuff. And I thought it was pretty interesting because you kept hearing about these bottlenecks. And of course, if you have a whole city flattened, any amount of buildings, and especially you have to think 7.0, can you imagine? I mean, that's off the charts on the Richter scale. So, of course, there's going to be problems. You're going to have people in the street that are sleeping in the streets. You have to contend with getting around them. And you've got to clear out the rubble, but you can't do that until you make sure that you've gone through the areas where people still might be breathing. I don't know if you can go further into the week, maybe a couple more days, and there may be more people to be found. The 23-year-old, the 6-year-old are perfect examples of that. So they can't exactly go in there with bulldozers, and start gutting it, and then, of course, pulling out bodies. It's getting through the immediate emergency. Then you turn the efforts toward rebuilding and infrastructure and getting back on track so the people can take care of themselves. And you think of this country, it's a country where most Haitians, I think 80%, live on about $2 a day. Whew, that puts it in perspective, doesn't it? Imagine if you had to live in the United States on $2 a day. You can always throw in your 800-259-5791. You might want to wait until you hear who I'm throwing in the dungeon next on ATN.
Our economy is in great distress. The financial dominoes can fall at any time. It's time to stop hoping it doesn't happen and prepare just in case it does. You have auto and home insurance. Why wouldn't you have food insurance? Are you prepared to feed your family long term? Because it might take years to recover. As the adult, it's your responsibility to feed your family, especially during rough times. SurvivalistSeeds.com is offering a package that will give you a 3-acre heirloom vegetable garden anywhere. 50 heirloom varieties, 8,000 vegetable seeds, over 5 pounds of healthy food. Don't be fooled by marketing companies disguised as patriots. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me radio show.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven 3-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
I have about 15 wild food guides on my bookshelf, which left me wondering if I even needed another book. Boy, was I wrong. My knowledge exploded to an entire universe of wild foods.
In olden days, it was the norm to know which plants are edible and which are not.
Dear Linda, just wanted to let you know I received your book today.
Wow. I watched the DVD last night. I was awestruck. What wonderful work you have done. This information can bless many people. Thank you. Again.
Thanks again.
Your book has given me the most hope and inspiration. Thank you.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at OfTheField.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
Have you ever needed something but you forgot? You know, some of our Life Change Tea customers forget to order, and then they ask us for some rush shipping. What if it was automatic? You know, no gimmicks, just your product smooth sailing to you automatically. And what if there was free tea? In AutoShip, there's some free tea, so call us for details. That's 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Our AutoShip program has no lock-ins, and you can cancel at any time. Free tea. If AutoShip be, so call us. There's no better way to jumpstart your health. Look us up at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com.
Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say that you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. Nothing you can make that can't be made.
You know, he's going to do this dungeon moment where we shoved Chris Dodd, the Senate Banking Committee chairman, into the dungeon. He's considering scrapping the idea of creating a consumer financial protection agency. And, of course, you know, here's the thing with Chris Dodd. He's basically a lame duck now because he's not going to run for Senate again. I mean, this is it. He's done. If you remember, the whole idea was, in the beginning, Dodd, you know, blasted the banking industry for lobbying aggressively to prevent the creation of doing this. He, in fact, I can remember his quote, and I think it's been reprinted all over the place. It might have been a story I saw in the Wall Street Journal. But he said the very people who created the damn mess are the ones now arguing that consumers ought not to be protected. So, of course, now he's shifted his thoughts a little bit. Amid this push to enact revamped rules that would actually govern our financial sector, if you will, in this narrow window of time before that November election. But he's no longer getting, you know, he's not seeking re-election. So he doesn't have to worry about the pressure with the populist movement on focused on the new financial regulations easing up. So I say to that, poor politics friend, obviously he was pandering to the constituents. We've had consumer groups who have pushed hard for some kind of agencies, some federal agencies whose only job is to protect consumers, somebody independent. because then they're, you know, that way they can be free thinkers. And they're, what happens is most of the people, if you have any kind of consumer group tied to the government, of course, are they really protecting consumers from abusive financial products? And the answer is no, they're not. And so this has just gone down the drain. It looks like, I mean, it looks like it's not completely done, but there's not the push that was on before from Dodd. However, I've probably already thrown him in the dungeon anyway, and he's on his way out, so who cares? So moving from Dodd, the focus now becomes the media circus surrounding this whole Jay Leno and Conan O'Brien thing. And the latest twist in this is pretty interesting. The people at NBC, apparently, it's being reported by TMZ anyway, that Conan O'Brien's going to get $32.5 million to leave, since he said he wouldn't take this $12.05 that they were throwing at him to start the Tonight Show. And in the meantime, Jay Leno has shot back because he's just getting crucified everywhere. You know, now there's like, now he's a verb. If somebody screws you over at work, you were Leno'd. I've been Leno'd, right? So in the case of Leno, he's saying, I told NBC that primetime would never work, saying that he was doubtful from the beginning. He explained from his standpoint that he told the network he'd return to the Tonight slot only after Conan O'Brien rejected the plan to put both of them on late night. Gee, you think he was going to say, I like it? So NBC continued these negotiations to do an exit deal with O'Brien that would clear way for Leno to reclaim the 11:35 slot, which he hosted for 17 years before he turned it over to O'Brien. Now, what's interesting is to go back in our time capsule and look back to 2004. Did any of you ever remember hearing this, seeing it somewhere, even if you could care less about the entertainment industry or the late night guys, you never even watch it, you live in a cave, you live somewhere else, you don't even watch television, you think it's useless nonsense. I guarantee somewhere, somehow, you heard that Jay Leno was going to leave late night, and he made it official because he did. It's like this backdate, not backdating thing. It's like forward dating. I call it forward dating. It's like what Oprah did. She got all upset. I'm leaving the program in 18 months. You know, there's always a chance that she could change her mind. Leno didn't say anything about, I'm going to change my mind. There's a little out clause in case I'm afraid I'll get bored. But here's what he did say in 2004.
Welcome back. I want to elaborate on the announcement made earlier today. You may have heard about this, that I'm going to leave the show in 2009. Okay.
All right.
Let me explain. Let me explain how these things work. About 6 months ago, I sat down here with the folks at NBC, and they said, we want to re-up. And I said, okay, what do you want to do? Because I don't have a manager and agent. I like the people I work with. They're nice folks. And they said, and this is a high-paying job. Oh, this is a great-paying job. So they said, listen, we would like to do 5 more years. I said, great. I'd love to do 5 more years. And that was 6 months ago. And then time went by. There's all talk about Conan O'Brien. Will he go to ABC? Will he go to one of these other networks? And they came to me and they said, we don't want to lose Conan O'Brien. And I said, okay, what does that mean? And they said, we think Conan would be a good replacement, as I do. Conan is a gentleman, funny, the hottest late night guy out there. Excellent. And I said, you know something? I don't want to see Conan go anywhere else. I'm 59. I'll be 59 years old when this leaves 5 years from now. That's 1,200 shows. They're not going anywhere tomorrow. And I said, you know, there's really only one person who could have done this into his 60s, and that was Johnny Carson. I think it's fair to say I'm no Johnny Carson. So I called up my buddy. I called my buddy Jerry Seinfeld. I said, Jerry, what do you think, you know? And Jerry quit his show when it was the most popular. And I'm proud to say this show has been number one. We will keep it number one. And then in 2009, I'll say, Conan, take it over. It's yours. Because, you know, you can do these things until they carry on a stretcher, or you can get out when you're still, you know, you're still doing good and think, I'm not quitting show business. You know, but I realize I'm not spending enough time with my cars. But anyway, this is not tomorrow. It's 5 years from today. And I want to say I don't think there's a better choice. Because, you know, when I took this show over, boy, there was a lot of animosity between me and Dave and who's going to get it. And quite frankly, a lot of what I thought, well, good friendships were permanently damaged. And I don't want to see anybody ever have to go through that again. Because this, you know, this show is like a dynasty. You hold it and then you hand it off to the next person. And I don't want to see all the fighting and all and who's better and nasty things back and forth in the press. So right now, here it is. Conan, it's yours. See you in 5 years, buddy. Okay. Clear enough? That's good. All right. Let's get on with the show.
Wow. So that was pretty obvious what he said there. He didn't want to, he didn't think, especially the one statement, he didn't think anybody could carry that show into his 60s. That was the great Johnny Carson, and he wasn't that guy. Ooh, how about that? So, the scoop is, I guess when you change your mind, you can really mess with a lot of people's lives, because that's what's happening with the O'Brien people. You know, that's the other thing. One thing about Leno, I mean, I'll give him credit here, he's loyal to his people, just like Conan O'Brien is. They know the people around them that prop them up, the writers, the producers, all the people that do all the things on those sets and deal with the green rooms and the celebrities and all the stuff in between that keep people laughing, or they try to keep people laughing. So I think both of them are very, very concerned about the staffs. And the staff can be pretty big. In the case of Conan O'Brien, of course, they move all the way to Los Angeles. Leno had a staff of about 175 people working. And he said, you know, he was going to leave before his contract ended. And by what they did by creating that show, they kept him from going to another network. So essentially, the stuff like CSI, et cetera, ended up going to an earlier hour. And you know the rest. I mean, obviously, the folks at the affiliates all over the country, many of them where you're listening, didn't like what was going on with the Jay Leno show, because the ratings were very, very, very poor. So this has become so ugly, I think, in late night. Beyond ugly. Sam is listening to us in Montreal. Hey, Sam, in Montreal, what's your version of the late night talk show on the tube? Do you have somebody? I don't know. Is there somebody who's super popular?
No, because we have cable, so we watch Leno and, you know, Conan and you know, and stuff like that. So we don't have anything here in Canada like that.
Do you watch the American shows?
Yep. Well, of course the Nationals that I watch is on at 11 o'clock, and 10 o'clock the CBC has their version of the National News on at 10. So sometimes I'll watch that, or like CTV. That's the one of the Canadian channels will have like Tuesday nights they have Law and Order SVU, and then Wednesday night they have CSI New York and stuff like that. But 11 o'clock, one of the cable stations here, one of the Canadian cable stations has Law and Order UK.
Really? Law and Order UK?
United Kingdom. Like, you know, the opening, you know, in the criminal justice system, blah, blah, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Okay, the British one, instead of saying district attorney, they say crown attorney.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and the British courts, you know, they say my lord or my lady, and the and the lawyers wear the wigs and the gowns and everything. So it's really British. And you know, don't forget, they use some British terms. I'm saying, like, oh, what's that mean? I have to think about it for a sec. What are they saying? You know, certain British translations. Anyway, some really, I have a buddy of mine who's a referee in chief for hockey in a town northwest of Montreal. P.S. There was a game yesterday. Someone had to call the cops because one of his referees got assaulted by one of the players.
Wow. Sam, that's not good. Every time we're talking to you, it gets rougher and rougher there on and off the ice sometimes with these parents and also players. Stay with us, everybody.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50%. 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Americans have heard much about change in recent times and are now waking up to the truth. Well, here's a few facts about your food you may want to change. Did you know that nearly 100% of the food on store shelves comes from a few corporations and that most is genetically engineered, chemically sprayed, and transported great distances? Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company, like you, wants to see Americans change and take control of their own food supply, one seed at a time. Over 12 years, we've become America's premier supplier of pure, non-GMO seeds with over 1,400 varieties. Gardeners and homesteaders know Baker Creek offers some of the most popular seed collection kits, like our large heirloom kit with 60 full-size seed packets for only $99. The kit contains 25 types of vegetables and comes packaged in a metal can for long-term storage for just $99. Look for our free catalog today at rareseeds.com. That's rareseeds.com or call 1-866-OLD. Seed. That's 1-866-653-7333 today.
Thoreau that said, it is a characteristic of wisdom not to do desperate things. And they did a desperate thing in Massachusetts because if Coakley loses, if Martha Coakley loses to fill that Senate seat left open by the death of Ted Kennedy and the Republican Brown wins instead, and they are in a tight race, ladies and gentlemen. Picture yourself for the first time at the track, and you're looking at all the horses, and you think, okay, here's the list of them, right? Here's the dark horse. No way does this horse come around that turn and make it down the stretch. Oh, it shows you how the attitude has flipped and continues to flip, even in a very liberal, liberal state like Massachusetts. If people felt so thirsty for this version of healthcare reform that they're hearing rattled about all over the place, then why would Brown even be in the running? Why would he even have a possibility? I think in the polling, he wouldn't show up that much. I think Martha Coakley would nail it to the wall. So it is neck and neck, and it is D-Day, Tuesday. So when the votes come in, if Coakley loses, then health reform would pretty much be DOA, right? So then it's a question of whether 218 House Democrats could actually be persuaded to pass the Senate bill and do something with it, or just watch the whole thing go away. There's going to be a lot of blowback on the Massachusetts special election. I mean, so many eyes, the eyes in Washington are fixated. I mean, fixated on Martha Coakley. The Dems have dumped millions into her little mini campaign. And I think I said this on our last America Tonight. One of the Kennedys, Ted's son, Patrick Kennedy, didn't even know her name. Didn't know that it was Martha, was butchering her first name. So that's not a good sign. That's not a good sign for the people saying yes. And I just checked the polls, and it is absolutely no exaggeration. It is so tight. I mean, it is tied up, matched up at 48%. So here we are. It's election day, baby. People are getting up, and I predict you're going to have massive turnout, too, by the way. This is a very, very liberal state we're talking about. Why wouldn't she be further ahead in this race? Now, special elections are hard to predict. And, you know, you got all kinds of polling firms that have had egg on their face as a result of wrong information. But according to the latest one, the very, very latest one that I just pulled up, she is 2 percentage points ahead of Brown. 2 percentage points ahead. So is she improving? Is she going to get this, or does Brown win it and it changes the face of health care reform dramatically? Because there's no question, if Scott Brown becomes the next senator and he's telling people flat out that he is not voting for this health care reform, if he becomes the guy, then it is dead, because that vote is completely necessary out of Massachusetts. Unless something happens with the House, and of course there are other tricks in the bags of the politicians that could be used to fillet this and get it through. But it really isn't looking good. It's so much so you can tell, because the other senator from Massachusetts, John Kerry, freaked out at Scott Brown's senatorial campaign because he said that he was adopting intimidating tactics that he thought were very reminiscent and dangerous, and created a dangerous atmosphere, pretty much like Sarah Palin's 2008 campaign rallies. Wow. So what's happened is you've had, I guess, some of the vandalizing of Coakley signs and threats of violence and all that sort of stuff. And so Kerry says, you know, this isn't how we do business in Massachusetts. Sorry, I could shoot back with a couple of different things, I think, on that one, Senator Kerry. So a Politico poll conducted by the firm, because I'm going to give you the name so you know it's legit, Insider Advantage, showed Brown way, way up. And now that has come back down in the last day. And, you know, what does it mean, the accusations of voter intimidation tactics? And, you know, what are voter intimidation tactics? Because he goes and says, listen, I'm not voting for health care reform. And apparently somebody was at one of the Brown events and called for the candidate to stick a curling iron in a place where the sun doesn't shine on Martha Coakley. So people are fired up, okay? They're fired up. But when we talk about intimidation tactics, if you're the person campaigning and you're out there and somebody yells something out nutty, well, you know, what are you supposed to do about that? Well, hey, we don't, that's not how we roll here. Of course, you shoot back, whatever. But I don't call that intimidation tactics. Intimidation tactics are when you threaten somebody that they have to vote a certain way, and if they don't, you're going to do something to them, threaten them somehow, make their job go away if they have a government job, or pull some strings in a different direction and get them in trouble for something. It's kind of like police working with people and trying to break them down and get them to give more information in a crime, right? So we're willing to bargain with you if you roll on so-and-so. That's intimidation tactics, I believe. And you know, is what they're now saying, too, as well, is there's potential for voter fraud in Massachusetts, and that it's almost unlimited, that there are a lot of people that are on the ground in case that happens. You have conservatives, I think, and Democrats. So the Democrats are worried about voter fraud, and so are the conservatives. And they've got people on the ground. For example, there's a group called Limited Government Foundation, and they're out there ready to be around the poll, ready to be around the voting places to kind of observe what's happening on the ground in Massachusetts and vice versa. So the Republican Party in Massachusetts is rallying up their voters, and the call to action is, our dream of depriving millions of health care is within reach, is what somebody told me on the phone today. And then somebody blogged a similar thing on Huffington Post. So we're all going to be talking about the election results on our next show. Is it Scott Brown? Is it Martha Coakley? And the real thing here is what I said jumping in with Thoreau's comment. The problem is that desperate things were done here. And some of the wrong choices were made. So if the Democrats wanted to protect the territory, they made the wrong choice, I think, with Coakley, who half the people in their own party can't pronounce her name. Don't know her first name. That's a big mistake. Now, there still is a chance that she will win this thing. But there was an easier road to go down for the Dems. And they could have, I think, in, again, a very liberal state, lock this up in a much different way. But it also shows you, because of, I think, talk radio and the conversation and people going out, both Democrats, Republicans, conservatives, liberals, whatever you want to label somebody, I think because of that, people trying to find out more information and saying it's all bogus, these thousands of pages of special interests that are being shoved in here, that even in a place like Massachusetts, it's not a sure thing, because normally it would have been a sure thing. So it shows the high level of people who don't agree with this legislation being rammed through. Think about it.
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time?